So, Rebecca, here we are again. I'm Andrew Gibbons. You're Rebecca. You're going to tell us a lot more about yourself and where you come from this time. And today, I've been looking forward to this. Today, we're going to explore your walking and talking coaching. I'm not going to say much more because I don't know much more. I know that's what you do. I know you feel and know it works. Tell me a bit about it.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Outdoors is my happy place. I think that's one of the big bonuses and why I do it to some extent. And the idea originally came to me while I was out walking, which is often where I get my best ideas. Sure. I just find that when I go for a walk, I literally feel sort of the stress melt away and the ideas start to flow. And for me, there's something very much about the actual physical space. When you're in a building surrounded by walls, for me, there's a lot around energy. So the energy can't travel as far when you're confined in walls, I don't think. So for me, when I'm outdoors in a big space, that makes a difference to my thinking. So it was on a walk and I just thought, you know what, I get so much out of walking and I always feel much better and my thoughts seem clearer. I'd love to be able to do this with other people. And that was the seed of sense of direction, basically. It took a while for it to evolve to where it is now, but that's how it first started and why I got into it. We've been an outdoorsy sort of family since I was little, so outdoors being a very natural place for me. But as I've got older and developed more skills and greater understanding and things, the outdoors has become much more important to me.
Okay, I'm going to say some words now to remind myself of what I want to cover with you, because I'm already really interested in this idea of physical constraint to ideas. That might be something we can explore another time, because, well, we're pretty clear what we want to get from this. And it's questions in my mind like, why is being outdoors helpful to others in a coaching sense? How many people at a time? What do you get from that you can't get from anything else? These are the sort of things. So you're outdoors with a group of people.
Yep.
What size group and what sort of people? Who's drawn to this and how many at a time?
So it depends what we're doing. So I will work with individual clients. So it could be one-to-one, which is a lovely way of coaching. So I'll probably talk about that more later on. Okay. If it's my group things, it can be as few as sort of two or three people, or it can be as many. So last year, I was invited by Sheffield Hallam University to work with a group of their MBA students.
I was at Sheffield Polytechnic before it went posh.
Yes, well, it's now Hallam. So as part of their MBA students' wellbeing week, I was invited to go along and do what my version of a clarity in motion, which is my coaching walk thing. Okay. So there was, how many were in there? There were about 20-something, 20, 21, 22 students. So it was a very different type of walk, you know, and it much more. So we don't necessarily walk that far, but it's about being in the outdoors and drawing on nature and the outdoors for metaphors. And that's what I really like. You know, wherever I go, I always see a metaphor for life or situations and things.
Or trees and other stuff.
Yeah. And I will cope with them really quickly. So I had to think on my feet with the MBA students because unfortunately the weather was foul. that is the one downside of doing coaching walks and stuff. You are a little bit, you have to be very mindful of weather. So my walk got changed and we're on this outdoor activity centre, which is lovely. So, you know, they've got plenty of ground. They've got some woodland areas and things, but they also had this like assault course sort of thing, you know, and immediately thinking, brilliant. You know, this is excellent. In life, we come across so many obstacles and challenges. How do we address them? And straight away, for me, there's always that link there, you know. So we had a good chat around that. How do we address these challenges? What do they look like? You know, what skills can we use to get over them? Mm-hmm. And then walking into the woodland and stuff, you know, what the trees, there's so many metaphors with trees, you know, the tall, the proud, they're not afraid to just grow and be themselves, but they're also very flexible. So trees will bend in the wind and they will
not seeing the wood for the trees, barking up the wrong one. And
yeah, there's just so many that's offered through nature.
Okay, all right. Here, for a change, I'm going to steer you because usually it's the other way. So let's go back to fundamentals. What does the outdoors give you from a coaching perspective in terms of giving value to those you work with that is different to and better than indoors?
Good question. A couple of things. So one, when you're outdoors, like I've mentioned already, the space. So for me, the physical space is quite important. So the environment changes. And you also always got something else to draw on. So you can draw on the surroundings to get inspiration and metaphors. So that's one difference. You also, when you're walking with a client, you're side by side. You're not face to face. And that changes the dynamics to some extent. I think sometimes it can feel quite intimidating or intense if you sat face to face. Or if you're side by side, it's a different energy, you know, and people feel more able to open up, I think. On
okay, that's interesting again in itself. It's rare for a coach on site in situ physically to sit beside someone, isn't it? We sit opposite each other.
We do, yeah. Opposite each other or slightly at an angle and everything, but rarely side by side. And I think that offers a different type of experience.
Better?
I think it can be better. I don't think it, you know, I think it depends on the type of coaching or the session or whatever. So for me, I think sometimes it's a nice way to get to know people. So it can be a really good first session or first couple of sessions where, you know, you can get to know the person without feeling like you've got, you know, it can be awkward for somebody in the eye if you don't know them or whatever. Yeah. So it's a really nice way for starting a coaching relationship.
It's not so intense. It's not so closed and channeled, like you say. Yeah. Okay, so how long are these? I mean, these are fundamentals. I just don't know the answers to them. So when you go out with either a group or individually, how long are you out for typically?
I would say individuals about an hour. Sometimes it'll overrun a little bit. When it's the group things, anywhere between an hour and a half to 2.5 hours.
So it's not an all-day thing. It tends to be more conventional.
No, I try and put some boundaries. I mean, I could take people outdoors and quite happily do it. You know, when I did my first couple of parity immersions, they were probably a good 3 hours, possibly 2.5 hours. And I realised that that's a long time for somebody to commit to.
It can be,
So I decided that actually I would try and put some boundaries around that a little bit and have it slightly less than that. But saying that, I think there is a benefit from being outdoors for a longer period of time. And it is something that's on my radar that I'm aware of that I may well offer individuals, because I think the benefits of having a longer extended period of time outdoors is actually really, really
more immersive, just better relationship wise. And to be honest, if you're away for an hour and a half of half a part of the day, you might as well be away from that. You're not getting the travel time to and fro. I can see what you're saying. So different experiences. So what's the demographics? Women more than men, age groups? Is there any demographic pattern?
No, not particularly. I've had men and women on there. I would say when I first started, it was more women coming along, but I have had men come on it as well. And I think in some respects, I think it might be easier for men to come on because it's a bit, you know, I think perhaps that it feels a little bit better that they're going for a walk with somebody, you know, there's more of a purpose to it, not just, oh, I'm going to go and chat to somebody. They're going on a walk to chat to somebody. I think that bit. And interestingly, I did one, I think it was last year, specifically for solicitors and financial advisors.
You've done well, prizing them out of the office.
Well, this is it. This was the key thing. You know, so a couple of reasons, exactly that. You know, they are tied to their offices or the courts and stuff. So they don't get much time out of the office. And they all said how much better they felt for doing that, to give them that space.
Were they off the phone? Were they off the phone?
Yeah, no phones.
Good. Let me just interrupt you, Trin. You enforce that, do you?
It's something I don't enforce it, but I think people actually recognize the value of being away from the office, and therefore they themselves will not, you know, will sort of make
or
that.
Just go to somewhere, you know, there's no signal.
Exactly. Good. You know, so I think there's value in being out of the office. There's value in being able to speak to people from your profession or to network. Yeah. Networking opportunity within that as well, and getting to know people in a different.
Okay, right. Again, forgive me coming in, but you know, this is really interesting. So, different values from different ways of doing things. Tell me about a whole group of colleagues coming away together, as opposed to people who don't know each other might network. I see value in that.
Yeah.
Talk me through the people as one entity, if you like, from a real workplace, as opposed to the people from different places.
Yeah, again, there's value in that because you see your work colleagues in a different light. So you get to know them on a different level, you know, and I think that's important as well, because you probably only see one side or a couple of sides of your colleagues when you're in an office environment. So enabling them to come out of that. So it's really good for that team.
You've seen that happen?
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, it's a nice thing to do. When I've worked with kids before as well. So, I work in various different environments. And so I have been away on a number of residentials with teachers and students, and seeing them, you know, seeing that, because they see the teachers in a different light and the teachers see the kids in a different light, and it brings out different aspects of the personality, and it makes them more human in some respects. I know that sounds really stupid, but you
see
more
that.
Of a holistic view of the person.
I've seen
that's important.
Yeah. So colleagues coming away, just as I've seen in lots of different environments myself, always lean on the positive, because there's the danger of the side you see is not one you like.
Yeah, exactly. So I think you get a better picture of your colleague, but it's also an opportunity, again, you know, away from sort of politics a little bit as well. I think it allows them to leave the office politics behind. And it also, for me, it does reduce some of those hierarchical barriers a little bit as well. So I did work with a group, and it was a mixed group, actually. Uh-huh. This was a slightly different type of thing. It wasn't just a walk. It was an activity sort of day that I did with them outdoors. So there was a mixture of staff and volunteers. But again, it enabled them to work in a different sort of way. So again, see each other, but, you know, getting them to be able to discuss things that's important, but it gives them a different setting to do that. And it removes some of those barriers, you know. Nobody is higher up or lower down in this environment. We're all the same, you know.
Okay.
I don't go in as, you know, although I'm facilitating, I always try and maintain that same level.
Right, you used a word that I've written down here. You used the facilitating word, and I wrote that here, because hearing you say this, and I'm listening closely because this is really interesting, hearing you say this, I wrote the facilitating word here with a question mark, because I suppose at one facilitating end of the parameter, you could just say, do your own thing. But do you ever interject? If people are doing shock talk, if they're on the phones even, to what degree do you interject and steer, and to what degree do you let the flow take care of itself?
Again, it'll depend on the type of thing that I'm doing. So my clarity in motion, I do steer that to a certain extent.
It's got a purpose. It's got a result.
It's got a coaching purpose for that one.
Yep.
So I will go through very loosely sort of the GROW, you know, the common goal, know, that sort of thing. So it's all their own work, but I will steer it a little bit by asking questions at certain points on the walk. So we'll literally walk for a little while, we stop, they'll sit down, I'll ask some questions, and they write down notes, and then we'll maybe have a discussion about it, and then we'll continue.
So it's working as you walk.
Yes. So it allows, and I always encourage people to, once we've done that bit, so I'll go through some coaching questions, get them to write down their answers.
Good.
So, and again, there's a reason why I get them to write them down. One, it helps people to stay on track.
Sure.
Because if you get into dialogue with people, you sort of lose your own.
Oh, yeah.
But also, you've got a written record. So later on, you can come back to that and you can look at your notes and stuff. And I think writing, there's a link between what you're thinking and writing. So I encourage free flow, you know, in that respect. I try not to get people to edit stuff. You know, it's write down what's coming out of your head and stuff.
Sure.
So I think that's powerful. But once we've done that and we continue walking, I always say to them, right, just leave that now. If thoughts come up, brilliant, but don't actively ponder on it, because that's where the magic is with walking, is that just by the movement and just letting ideas flow, other ideas come.
Yeah, I wondered that. I wondered something about the rhythmic thing, about the movement, I say. I'm sure, you know, I'm not an expert in this, but I intuitively, I just get the feeling that when you're actively, if you're sat in a chair, there's nothing going on. But if you're doing something active, that must generate some energy.
Yeah, it does. So again, you know, you've got the momentum, because you've got the movement, because your blood's flowing, it actually energizes you as well, because it brings a certain amount of energy to you. But also there is a theory, I think it's called, attention. Oh, no, what is it called? Oh, you've got me now. Restorative theory. So it's about absorbing your attention in a way that allows your brain to continue working. So this is where creative activities and things like walking.
Sure.
Your mind is sort of concentrating on the task, but it allows your subconscious to work. And I think that's where walking and thinking can really help.
I mean, astonishing, we're past 15 minutes, so you're not going to start closing you down now. But we'll have to do more of this because there's so much in it, Rebecca. But, you know, I'll just throw in, a long, long time ago, I was told, don't take phone calls sitting down. Always walk around. Easier now with cordless, you know. Because it energises. If you sat in a prone position, there's no energy. We've got to do more on this because this is really getting me thinking. And I think the key thing to point out, you're not walking with ramblers aimlessly, you're doing purposeful coaching in an outdoor environment. So you usually say to me at this point, you might know what's coming, so if there's one thing that we should really take away from what you've been saying, Rebecca, what would it be?
Is if you're feeling stuck or you're procrastinating, head outdoors and go for a walk.
Great idea. Thank you. We'll do more of this. Thank you.
Thank you.